Good evening. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California. This is tape number 362A, and it is November the 10th, 1978. This tape is going to be part of a series of, like I did with the SLA recently and Evel Younger and the House Select Committee on Assassinations. There'll be a few other topics brought in, but for the most part, I believe that I'll be doing 1 to 2 to 3 weeks probably on the new Pope and the Vatican and the politics of religion and possibly getting ready for World War III. Before I get into that, I want to mention that Tom Davis in Capitola has a new mailing list. His address is Box 1107 in care of research. That's Aptos, California. His store is in Capitola, but his mailing address is Aptos. I have that on one of my sheets for those of you that get the tapes regularly. And it's in California, 95993. And for 25 cents, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, or I believe he staples them, there's 6 pages, of categories of books available for the holidays, and the list is $25 to cover the cost of printing for the 6 pages. And there is no reason to be hesitant in ordering these books. You can start at $1. Some of them go on up to $20, some that are hard to get. But Tom has made a point of collecting books that are available for researchers on many, many categories here of the assassinations and conspiracies and an endless division of subjects, such as I've given you in a tape on my library catalogs. I get my books from him. And I think it's time for people to support those people that make a effort to invest in this information so you can have it. Several people came to my house a few weeks ago from the Berkeley area and needed some books that I had, and I mentioned buying them from Tom, and I think the woman made a remark, well, I can get them up in Berkeley. I really feel that you should support this project of his. He's invested this money in having these books for you, and they are available. And if you're going to buy anybody a Christmas card for 25 cents or more, if you're going to send a holiday greeting for 25 cents or more, why don't you send money to Tom and get a book list and turn people on to the books that are available? Just reading the categories is a trip in itself. As a matter of fact, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and send people a list of the tapes for 25 cents to cover the printing. Again, I can send you packages with lists of all tape cassettes available since March of 1977. And instead of sending greeting cards and wasteful items that you purchase at the store, give people a list of what is available. They may just want something, one subject that will turn them on, and then they'll go on to the next subject and reach out and see the interconnecting links. I think it's very important to turn new people on, and don't fall into the category of thinking, well, my conservative relative or my cousin or various son-in-law or sister or brother isn't interested in this material. The people that you least expect will be interested in and are sometimes the people that you depend upon, your friends, your buddies, the people that you think are so liberal, so enlightened, intelligent, concerned. They turn their backs faster than the other people that you least suspect of turning on to this information. I've found that over and over again. I began by wanting to share what I was finding out with the people that I thought were politically liberal or politically active and concerned about making the world a little better place. And each one of them slammed the door, the ones that I originally had met when I first started my research, and they got a little peek at what was happening and said, no, thank you. And then I picked up other people that became interested and communicated and shared their research where I least expected it. So you can send to Tom for a list or send him a check for a few copies of lists and mail them to people or enclose them in packages. Spend 25 cents less on a gift that you're going to give, or 50 cents less for any given person. If you're going to spend $5, spend $4.50 and maybe send them a list of tape cassettes and the accompanying books that go with them, because that's where my source of information comes from. Besides the papers that I read, the congressional records and the hearings, it's, a lot of this is done by fine people writing books and doing the research. And I suggest that you think about that with the holidays coming up, or send somebody a book with a book list of other books. There's any price range, you name it, it's there. There is no other gift that you can give that is as lasting. This is a gift of life, because the keys to your survival, I believe, are in this information if people would use it. There's enough printed now to demand changes, but people aren't using it. We don't need any more new books. Just use the old material and get it out. And I dwell on this because the holidays are coming, and it is a time of giving. And the best thing you can do is to turn somebody on that you least suspect or people that you know well. And if you think they don't like it, so what? Then people that might need it the most, just give it to them and see if we can't turn on new readers and new listeners to help spread this information. This evening, November the 10th, and last night, November the 9th, the 40th anniversary of the Night of the Broken Glass in Germany. This phenomena was only mentioned at the time of the Holocaust. There are very few people in Germany or in the United States that have been taught what took place in 1938 in Germany. The second secretary of the German embassy in Paris was assassinated, and that was the night that triggered off the excuse for Adolf Hitler to go after the Jews, as he promised. And one of the ways to solve unemployment in Germany and to keep people busy in factories or shops is to just confiscate them from the Jews, destroy the Jewish business, don't educate Jewish children to work their way into the system or the universities and professions, stop all education and professions, and then begin to exterminate them. It was the night of the broken glass, as I say, it was 40 years ago, when 7,500 Jewish shops, a minimum, were destroyed. At least 191 synagogues were destroyed, over 171 Jewish homes. They just tore in and cut people apart. They not only broke the glass and smashed the furniture, but a woman who came from Germany who took care of my grandmother when she was quite aged, was a German refugee, and members of her family were cut apart in front of her in her home. 20,000 Jews were arrested for the murder of this secretary in the Paris embassy. And then the stores and factories were confiscated, and the edicts came out. No children would go to German schools. Of course, November the 9th, 1978, in St. Paul, Minnesota, there was a celebration for the Night of Glass, Nazi style. A synagogue was broken, smashed, thousands of dollars of damage, and there were signs on the synagogue painted, "Hitler lives." They must be listening to World Watchers tapes. Or they know, and I know, that Hitler does indeed live. The overriding message of Dialogue Conspiracy on KLRB for 7 years, and the World Watchers now on private tapes for already a half a year, has always been that fascism, totalitarian dictatorship, doesn't just appear. It happens, it's planned, and it is manipulated by a certain group of individuals whose names run throughout the history of our times from 1919 up to the present time. I made a study of finding out who gives the orders, how they got the power, how they kill and assassinate to maintain the order, and how they cover up the murders and the conspiracies by which the government officials maintain their power. They do that through the media, the courts, the medical profession, and the police and investigative bodies. During the last 8 years of research, I've escalated my interest away, or along with Lee Harvey Oswald and his Nazi friends, to the larger connections of Oswald, specifically to Argentine and to Poland and New Orleans and the Washington, D.C., Dallas connections, which includes the Netherlands and Britain, directly and indirectly, but the physical relationship of Lee Harvey Oswald to his friend, specifically Alexander Zeiger, who came from Poland and went to Argentina and then to the Minsk radio factory in the Soviet Union. And the Polish connection has always been of interest to me. At the time that the Pope died, when Pope Paul I died, I was concerned about the amount of death in the Vatican, and so were other people. We'll go into that more in detail in other tapes or rest of the tape today. I was concerned about the deaths that took place in the Vatican of a cardinal from China, one from Moscow from Russia, another one from Poland, and another ambassador to the Vatican from Turkey who died in June of 78, and then the Pope himself died. And when you get that many deaths, you want to know su bono, or who gains, what is happening with all these deaths in the Vatican. And I'm not the only one who is questioning these deaths. There have been many articles in Europe and in the United States about the quick death of Pope John Paul I. When this happens, when so many deaths accompany the death of a pope, it's time to take a hard look behind the scenes. It was June the 10th, 1978, when an ambassador, Taha Karim, he's 62 years old, was wounded in the neck and shoulders and slain, and he was the ambassador to the Vatican from Turkey. Three ambassadors from Turkey have been killed. That was in June. But then Archbishop Nikodim, I can't pronounce it properly, I'm sure, from the World Council of Churches, one of their six presidents, member of the Greek Orthodox Church, died on the lap of Pope John Paul I when he went to see him at the Vatican. Now, this particular archbishop, not a cardinal, was instrumental in bringing Russian Orthodox Church into the World Council of Churches in 1961. And those of you that have the Torba document have read sections of the allegations of the World Council of Churches and the Russian Tsarists and the Tsarist exiles and their role in the assassination of John Kennedy. And at the time that he was instrumental in bringing the Russian Orthodoxy into the World Council of Churches in 61 was the exact period when Alexander Zeiger, again in Minsk, was introducing Marina Oswald to Lee Harvey Oswald, because without Marina's testimony, there'd be no case against Lee Harvey Oswald for killing the President of the United States. This archbishop died, as I say, on the lap of John Paul I. If you don't have the Torbett document, again, you can get it for $15 from Tom Davis at Research, and this would incorporate it, and this would make a wonderful Christmas present for somebody to give to you or for you to buy for another person. I don't want to get too far off the track with this Polish Pope and his links to I.G. Farben and the Nazis in the Polish area that I'm very suspicious of. But I want to turn you on to an article in Forbes, if you can get it from the library, October the 30th, 1978. It's about a corporation, the Schlumberger operation. It's called A Singular and Mysterious Giant. Schlumberger's chairman and chief executive, Jean Ribaud, is head of Schlumberger's, and it goes into their multi-billion dollar oil field service agency that's set up in Louisiana, Nigeria, the North Sea, and Kuwait. It was Jean de Menil, the head of Schlumberger, this one is Jean Ribaud, a Russian Tsarist exile, the president of Schlumberger, who used his company in 1960-62 to smuggle hand grenades and mines and missiles for Double Check, the CIA front that was going to invade Cuba, and the Schlumberger name was put on boxes with false labeling. The operation involved the connections of the white Russian community, the Russian exiles, the Solidaris, and Jean de Menil was the front for this operation and the assassination teams that were planning to kill Fidel Castro and then went on and were responsible for the killing of John Kennedy. Jean de Menil's group, Schlumberger, had Paul Rygotarodsky connected with them. This is all in the Torbett document. And the links of the espionage arm of the Solidaris, the white Russians, the Polish Tsarists, to the Orthodox Eastern Church is gone into the World Council of Churches, and the espionage links is gone into in the Torbett document. And the archbishop that died from Moscow on the lap of Pope John Paul I from Moscow was active in the World Council of Churches. I have my curiosity going, or my psychic powers, or whatever. But when I read the description of the death of John Paul I, and again, we'll go into those details later, one newspaper described it as a curare poisoning, the position he was in, and a smile on his face that he had been given the Brazilian drug curare to kill him. And I wonder if one of the cardinals, either from China or the archbishop from Moscow, had brought poison into the Vatican at the time that John Paul died to cause his death, and then they were killed before the tale was ever told. If you study the game plan, which again I want to get into later for World War III, involving the United States and China against Russia, this Chinese cardinal, Yu Pin, collapsed just at the time of the death of Pope Paul the Sixth, that preceded John Paul the First death. That was Cardinal Montini. At one time he was a secretary to the Vatican, and he worked with the new present pope in Rome, the the 2 years that he was there before he went in the priesthood, when he was studying for a PhD in Rome as a secretary of the Vatican, he was writing passports for Nazis to Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay in that interim, the years 1946 to 1948. And those are the years that this new pope was in Rome studying. So that two persons were in the Vatican, the Chinese cardinal Yu Pin, who collapsed when, at the time of Pope Paul's funeral. He went there after one pope had died, and then the other archbishop from Moscow, from the World Council of Churches. And I wonder if either of them could have been used to bring in some kind of curare or poison. We know that popes can't go over the counter in Rome just buying a little package of poison, the cardinals, rather, over the counter buying this kind of thing to do each other in, any more than Dr. Byrne could go into Washington too long and send somebody with a false name to buy Quaaludes. But nobody checks the cardinal's robes or under their robes or whatever they have under those robes. And because these men died in the Vatican, I wonder if they were the conduit, just like Sam Giancana and John Rosselli, were the middlemen between the Central Intelligence Agency and the organized crime and the killing of John Kennedy. But when the House Select Committee got warming up, these men and Carlos Prius Siqueiros and Charles Nicoletti and the others died, William Sullivan died, the middlemen died, and that's why I wonder about these sudden deaths. Then there was another death in the Vatican, not right directly in the Vatican, but in Rome, and only the Washington Post picked this one up, dated October 17th, 1978. You may want to look that up. It said that there are only two Polish cardinals left representing Poland as of the 17th, because the third Polish cardinal, Bolesław Filipiak, a member of the Vatican Curia, died only last week, which means that the week of October the 7th, the third Polish cardinal died in Rome, and he was a member of the controversial Vatican Curia that the Pope John Paul I was up against, because he didn't have the political know-how and the clobber to control this body of men. It's like an innocent president coming in and bucking up against the National Security Council. Pope John Paul I was supposed to be just not experienced enough to handle the cure, but the Polish representative on the cure, the cardinal, died. And then John Paul I died, and so we have the Turkish ambassador to the Vatican who was shot, the archbishop from Moscow, the cardinal from China, the Polish cardinal, and then the Pope himself. And that is reason enough to wonder who in the hell is going to succeed John Paul I. If that wasn't enough to fire my historic curiosity or healthy paranoia, I keep reminding myself how many times I've warned people who hear me on the radio or take the tapes how dangerous it was to put a German like Henry Kissinger in the National Security Council, to have Reinhard Gehlen, the chief of Hitler's Eastern Intelligence, make our National Security Council, turn the OSS into the CIA, and write the script for the way the spy system had taken over Germany and got themselves elected in 1933. And of course, I've done tapes on Brzezinski and Solzhenitsyn, but the danger of having Brzezinski as the tool, this Polish, czarist, vicious man, genocidal, part of the trilateral Bilderbergers, running the National Security Council, lackey for the Rockefeller Combines and all the others too, the DuPonts and the Henry Fords, and the same gangs that gave us World War One and Two, hand-selecting a Polish pope, knowing him in advance, blocking the Italian election so that the German and the American cardinals and the Argentine and the Brazil cardinals got on a very narrow vote the Polish pope in, hand-picked. Very, very dangerous scene. When this pope was born in 1920, World War One was just over, and he was 19 years old in 1939 when Adolf Hitler went quietly into Poland and into Krakow. Hardly a finger was raised in the town where he lived, and of course that was all prearranged. He He spent the next 6 years in that town, and I've given you a little piece of a map in case you don't get to the library to mark off the cities where he lived. And you see Krakow there down below. Sometimes it's spelled with a K and sometimes with a C. And Auschwim, O-S-W-I-E-C-I-M, is Auschwitz, Auschwim. And Katowice is sometimes Wadowice. That is his hometown. He went between Wadowice and Krakow, and he worked at a chemical factory and a quarry. And he was in town 6 years, right in the heart of the extermination camps. And to add fuel to the fire, he worked as a chemist, and he worked as in a rock quarry. And I will try to show you through the books I've read and researched in the recent weeks since this man was appointed from this area that there's only one company that owned the chemical works in Poland, and that was IG Farben. And the corporation, the company that used the slave labor for IG Auschwitz from that neighborhood and their quarries and in their work for digging out and making their rubber plants and their chemical plants, IG Farben ran that operation. And IG Farben had the largest private intelligence, secret service intelligence operation of any multinational corporation. They were the big daddies before ITT and Howard Hughes and the various private industries began their own spy systems. IG Farben was into it then. And this particular Pope studied drama. I think of Hollywood with Howard Hughes and Joe Kennedy and various, E. Howard Hunt, various people, very much part of the anti-communist infiltration of Hollywood to begin the Red Scare, get out all the writers and the humanists and any scripts that ask social questions, bring in the mafia, bring in the whores, bring in the actresses, and forget about the dramas and turn Hollywood into a nightmare of junk and cheapness and send it around the world as entertainment. In between, a few things were sandwiched in there that might have had some meaningful sense, but very, very little considering the talent that was available to Hollywood. I know I was born and raised down there, and I watched it all come down. Even though I wasn't political in those days, I look back, and it's all very clear to me. And I'm sure as you look back and say these tapes, things will become very clear to you if they haven't already. Now, this guy wanted to study drama. This Pope, I call him the Popus, he wanted to study drama like E. Howard Hunt. They learned disguises, they learned costumes and getaway and infiltration and impersonation. Impersonating Jews, you're going to help leave from there. Who did he help? He's supposed to be the assistant of the Jews, and we'll go into that too. He studied counterintelligence. He worked as a chemist. He worked at a rock quarry. This Pope has been in for quite a few days now, and I haven't really had any identification of exactly what he did, except that People magazine said he hid in the castle of an archbishop when the Germans came through the town and rounded up other young men when the German invaders were going through in Warsaw. He was in Krakow. That was called Black Sunday there, and they rounded up all the people in Carol's neighborhood, and Carol was alone in the apartment waiting for it to happen. But something wonderful happened. The Germans never came after him. They left him alone, and according to the article you see in the Henry Luce publication, Carol spent the rest of the war hidden in the palace of the Archbishop of Krakow. Now, there's no reason in the world to hide in the palace of the Archbishop of Krakow. The Pope knew that Hitler was going into Poland. He knew it all along. There was an agreement, and nobody in Krakow gave the Nazis any problems, so there was no reason for this Pope to hide. And the story is a lot of malarkey and PR job to make you like him and sympathetic to whatever they want you to believe about him. I picked up a wonderful book at a used bookstore in San Jose this week. It's by Adolf Hitler. It's called My New Order. And a lot of people don't know that this book came out. It's a collection of his speeches. It was reduced from $30 to $12.50. It was put out in 1941, and the introduction says, My New Order is a collection of Hitler's speeches set in a running commentary. It's a sequel to Mein Kampf. It's a very rare book, and as a matter of fact, I have not heard about it or known about it. It's frankly chewed by somebody's dog. The edges, not the paper pages, are chewed at, but it's very precious to me. It's 1,000 pages of speeches of Adolf Hitler. And I looked up the section on Poland. There's a chapter called The Road to War. And this was in 1939, September the 19th, the speech in Danzig in 1939, where Adolf Hitler is telling his intent of what he's going to do in Poland. It was exactly 1 year almost to 9 days later, 1 year after the night of glass in Germany. And he's talking about how he will go after people that resist him, but he said in England they persecute women and children, and that he will take care of England, that he will be kind to women and children. And he said, let them make no mistake here, the moment could come very suddenly in which we would use a weapon with which we cannot be attacked. I hope they do not suddenly begin to think of humanness and the impossibility of waging war against women and children. We Germans do not like that. It is not in our nature. In this campaign, I give an order to spare human beings. And then he said, in quotes, in those places where insane or crazy people do not offer resistance, not one window pane was broken. In Krakow, except for the airfield, the railroad, and the railroad station, which were military objectives, not one bomb fell. On the other hand, in Warsaw, the war was carried on by civilian shootings, and that we have to take the whole city because they're crazy. But if you're sensible and you don't act insane or crazy and don't offer resistance, we won't hurt you. Just put down your guns like they did in Krakow, Poland. And of course, I have books, and I'll give you some volumes and page numbers, where Hitler told the Pope in Italy, we're going into Poland, we have to take Poland and set it up as a bulwark because we're going into Russia, and don't worry. And the Pope said, that's fine with us. Just go ahead and have a field day. And Hitler had told them long in advance what he was going to do. I was looking through the list of inserts that I have with the tapes that go out every week, and how many times I have feared Nazis and more of the Night of Glass operation that the synagogue got in St. Paul just this week, just yesterday. But if you compile your pages and put them in a spiral notebook, get a hole puncher and put them in there, they're really valuable to look at. And there's over and over again references to the fear of Nazi control. The book UFO, The Nazi Secret Weapon, Is Hitler Alive? Mention of Operation Bernhardt, Jacques, The Men Who Betrayed France, Wanted, Search for the Nazis. Just endless books, The Mind of Adolf Hitler by Walter Langer. And I have page after page here of references. Sometimes I wonder if you get tired of hearing about the Nazi fears that I have in this country or for the entire world, but evidently you don't, because I get more and more subscribers all the time, and maybe the subscriptions will escalate as people realize what is really happening. On June 16th in 1978, I listed library sections for research that I use in my own personal library, and it's from these sections that I pulled out information when the Pope was selected by the Cardinals, the Pope from Poland. The history book sections from 1914 to 1945 that I talk about under the Breaking the Versailles Treaty, the plans to import Nazis to the United States and send them all over the world, the 1946 to 1950 Nazification of the world, the Alger-Hiss case, the Rosenberg, the Korean War, the Cold War, the House on American Activities, and of course our Hollywood scares, and the 1960s and 70s, the Reverend Moon, the riots, assassinations, and the increase of Nazis in Greece, Brazil, Chile, Zaire, West Germany, England, and all around the world, including the United States. And then my section on religion, the Vatican, and the government collusions, religion, and conspiracies, and then the section that I have of A to Z on biographies and bibliographies of various chemical companies such as IG Farben, Nobel Oil, Dow Chemical, the Onassis Shipping Combines, the Howard Hughes books. And it's from these areas, and I mentioned the Bormann Brotherhood and Hitler's agents, and parts of Adolf Hitler, and it's from these sections, from the history books and the religious books, that I pulled out my material to begin studying some more. I have the books here, and I've read many of them, and some I buy to put away to read in the future because I know they'll be important. And I've been escalating my library, and if I had more money, I'd get more books and put them away. on this era. You just run out of money, unfortunately, unless I had some secret source. I have to stop going to these bookstores so much. But it's these categories that you have to pull out of to study the history of Poland, of the Nazis, of the Vatican, again, of Mr. Brzezinski and the oil combines that have selected him, and he, in turn, has selected the new pope. Let me remind you that when my first article came out about how was Martha Mitchell kidnapped and the first links of Watergate to Nazis, to the American assassination syndrome, I got a letter December the 10th, 1972, which Paul Krasner published in another realist, from Andreas Papandreou, who was kicked out of Greece. He was running for elections in April 67, and he was threatened with knives and sent to Canada. He wasn't killed, and he had read my article and thanked me for appreciating the fact and understanding how it happened that Greece went under a dictatorship. That is one of my most precious letters that I save, and with that, we'll go to side two of this tape of talking about a dictatorship around the world that could be linked to the Vatican at this time.